Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And even this sermon will not be an exposition proper of Genesis 12, 1 through 3, but this will be our sort of springboard into the topic for today. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for this reminder in Genesis 12 that you snatched Abram out of a pagan land, out of paganism, out of idol worship, and made him your son. And Father, we thank you for this reminder here that through Abram, you chose and planned to bless all the families, all the tribes, all the nations, all the peoples of the earth through the one Abraham's seed you would bring who would live and die and rise again. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we can be a part of that through the shed blood of Jesus by faith alone in Christ alone. And Father, we ask that you would be at work in our midst today, that you would be drawing us to Christ, that you would show us Christ, that you would show us what your word teaches about ethnic and racial justice and harmony. And Father, we pray you would increase our love for you and our love for one another and our love for those who are hard to love, that we would even love our enemies, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that you would save sinners today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Racial or ethnic tensions and conflict and anger have been high and intense this past year in the United States. My calling as a pastor is to keep reminding us of what God's Word says about race and ethnicity and racism, in hopes that God would change our hearts to be more and more in line with His heart, and to use us to help change the hearts of those around us. What is racism? Racism is the sin of partiality in the Bible. You heard Brother Ted read from James 2:1. Racism is partiality. What is partiality? Webster defines it this way: inclination to favor one party or one side of a question more than the other. An undue bias of mind towards one party or side, which is apt to warp the judgment. Partiality springs from the sinful will and affections, rather than from a love of truth and justice. And we know, as people of the God of truth, people of the God of justice, we are Christians who are to love truth and love justice and hate partiality and racism. Another way to define racism would be hatred for a person or group of people because of their skin color or ethnicity that results in injustices done to them. Or you could define it this way: a failure to love your neighbor as yourself because of ethnic differences. Or a failure to do unto others what you wish they would do unto you because of ethnic differences. Failure to obey the golden rule given by Jesus in Matthew 7:12. Racism is evil. But lest you think it's all out there, our problem is that we are all born me supremacists. Did you know that? We are born evil. We are born sinners, and all of us are born me supremacists. Therefore, all of us have a little bit of white or black or whatever supremacy you want to call it in us, because we are all me supremacists. We're born caring most about me, myself, and I. I am a me supremacist in the flesh, apart from Christ. Friend, do you know that about yourself? Or do you think of racism, oh, it's always out there, these bad people out there. No, I'm talking to you this morning, talking to me, because we're me supremacist. And you have it in you. And if you don't think you do, there's a bigger problem called pride and arrogance. We are all born evil. We're born selfish. We're born me supremacists. And God is our only hope. And praise Him that He has a plan to do away with me supremacy and all ethnic supremacy for the glory of King Jesus. And so we're going to think about that today. I have a 14-point sermon, but they're short points. 14 reasons racism is evil according to the Bible. Number one, racism is evil because all people are made in God's image. Racism is evil because all people are made in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Beloved, do you know that about yourself? That you are made in God's image. You are made in God's image, all peoples, no matter what you look like, no matter how much of melanin you have in your skin, you're made in the image of God. You're the only created thing in the universe made in God's image. You are the most beautiful thing on earth. Sunsets, people rave about sunsets. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's not made in God's image. The stars declare the glory of God. They're not made in God's image. As beautiful as they are, as beautiful as the flowers of the field, whatever's beautiful in nature, none of it is made in God's image like you are. You are the most beautiful. You are the height of God's creation. Only you are made in God's image. Lions, tigers, bears, not made in God's image. That most beautiful nature scene that takes your breath away, the Grand Canyon. Friend, you look at each other, it ought to take your breath away a million times more than the Grand Canyon. When you look another human being in the face, it ought to take your breath away. Only they are made in God's image. No Grand Canyon, no sunset, no sunrise. You are made in the image of the holy, omnipotent, all-glorious, all-beautiful God. And everyone is. From every tribe and tongue and language and nation and ethnicity, every human being is made in the image of God. And this is true after the fall. Some people might say, well, but we fell into sin. And yes, that marred the image of God. But the image is still present. And we know that from Genesis 9:6. After the fall, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in His own image. That's why God instituted the death penalty. Because if you take a man's life, that's a big deal. Because man is made in God's image. Psalm 8, 4 through 7 speaks of this glory of humanity. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, every one of you.
Yes.
Psalm 139, 13 through 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And the most wonderful of all God's works in creation is you. Made in God's image. And beloved, for those of you who are Christians, God is at work in you to totally and fully restore that image of God that has been marred and broken. It's still there, but it's been marred and defaced and broken. And God in Christ is making you into the image of your Creator. Through the blood of Christ, through the work of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, God is at work to do that in you. And also Romans 8, 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God is working in you, believer, to make you into the image of Jesus Christ. Racism is evil because all people are made in God's image. Number two, racism is evil because God designed all the different ethnicities. Racism is evil because God designed all the different ethnicities. This is God's idea. And God is good and does all things well. And so if you look down at yourself and you have paler skin, God designed that. God made that. That was God's plan. If you look down and you have darker skin, God made that. God made the features. He made your hair like He made your hair, your nose like He made your nose, your lips, your ears. He made you like He made you. If you're male, He made you male. If you're female, He made you female. God made you just the way He wants you. And He delights in you. Racism is evil because God designed all the different ethnicities. Acts 17, 26 through 27. And He, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. And He made from one man every nation. God did this. Racism is evil. Three, because God determined from the beginning to save people from all nations. Racism is evil because God determined from the beginning to save people from all nations. And we see that in the passage I read from Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, God told to Abram. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families, all the tribes, all the nations, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. God is determined to save people from every nation, every background. Sometimes at Broughton Olney, I meet Hebrew Israelites, and they hate me. Some of them hate me because I'm an Edomite. They say I'm from Esau. I'm the red man. And God hated Esau, and so God hates you, and I hate you too, they say. That's racism. Deuteronomy 23:7 has become my favorite verse to show them. It's in the law of God. They love the law. They're modern day Judaizers, if you read the book of Galatians, modern day Pharisees. But Deuteronomy 23:7, put that in your mind. Deuteronomy 23:7, God says to Israel in the law, and I'll use King Jimmy. They like the King James Version. I'll use King Jimmy. You shall not abhor an Edomite. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. Beloved, if you meet groups of people who teach that God's salvation is only for the Jews, or only for the Gentiles, or only for this people, or only for that people, they're wrong. They're not biblical. That's false teaching. From the beginning, when God called Abram and started his salvation program through Abram, he said, I will bless all the families of the earth through you. All the families. God's passion and desire is to save people from all nations. Number four, racism is evil because God hates injustice. God hates injustice. Proverbs 17:15 is a great verse for you all to have in mind when you watch things on the news and you see things on TV and you hear about injustices here and injustices there, and you are going to take sides on certain matters. Proverbs 17:15 is great for us to hear. God says, he who justifies the wicked. In other words, you let the wicked off. You let the wicked go free. You don't punish the wicked. You let the wicked go easy. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous. When you punish those who are innocent, they're both alike an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says God hates both of those realities. When we let wicked people go free without punishment, and when we punish the innocent, God hates that. That is an abomination. That's a strong word for hatred that God's word uses for how he thinks and feels about injustice. God hates injustice. He is a God of justice. And he often expresses this hatred of injustice in his hatred for partiality. Exodus 23, 2 through 3. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many so as to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. You shall not be partial to anyone, whether rich or poor, no matter the ethnicity. God says he hates partiality. Leviticus 19:15. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. Deuteronomy 16:18 through 20. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land the Lord your God is giving you. Psalm 82, 2 through 4. God is taking these wicked rulers to the woodshed, so to speak, and calling them out for their sin of partiality. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. In Acts 10, 34 through 35. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. God shows no partiality. And so we should not either. Because we are to be perfect as he is perfect. Racism is evil because God hates injustice. Five, Racism is evil because of the second greatest commandment. Racism is evil because of the second greatest commandment. Remember, Jesus was asked one time, what was the greatest commandment in the law? Matthew 22, 36 through 40, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. It wasn't loving your neighbor as yourself for white Southerners to call Ruby Bridges as she walked into school, that first desegregated school in the South, vile and ugly names. It wasn't loving your neighbor as yourself for those same people to make effigies of with nooses as this little child went to school. I mean, how would you like that, children? To be called vile names by adults simply because you're going to school. That's what they did to this little girl because she was African American. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself means that you will use as much energy and creativity and strength and ingenuity and power that you can muster, the same that you do to love and care for yourself, you'll do for other people. It doesn't mean you need to love yourself first. I have to always bring that up because people, you'll hear preachers all over preach, well, you got to learn to love yourself first before you can love other people. No, you already love yourself quite a bit. You clothed yourself this morning. You fed yourself breakfast. You got some sleep last night. I mean, you love yourself. We love ourselves. The Bible assumes that we love ourselves. No, this is a command to forget about yourself and love other people with that same energy you already love yourself with. And if you have questions about that, I would love to talk with you more about that, but not now. Come and ask me afterwards. Racism is evil because we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. 6, racism is evil because of the golden rule. Very similar. Matthew 7, 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, Jesus says, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Do you do that? Do we do that? Think about what we say to one another, how we think about one another. That's a good one, how you think about other people. What does she think about me? What does he think about me? Think about others as you would want to be thought about by them. Amen. What's in your mind toward other people? That's why I defined racism the way I did. Hatred for a person. It can be in your mind. You can hide it and say nice things to people outwardly, but inside you think things. Beloved, God knows what you think. God will judge you on the day of judgment based on your thoughts and my thoughts, not just our words and actions. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Think about others the way you would want to be thought about. Racism is evil because of the golden rule. 7, racism is evil because Jesus died for all nations. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy of you, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The church is not American. The church is not Chinese. The church is not Kenyan. The church is all of that and more. Amen. The church is from every nation. every tribe and tongue. Revelation 7, 9 through 10, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude. This comes after the 144,000, signifying the salvation of Israel. But after that, we read Revelation 7, 9 through 10. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's what heaven will be like. Are you comfortable with that? You better get comfortable, because that's what heaven will be like. People from every language and tongue and tribe and nation praising God. Zulu, Christians, Akeko Ofanano Yesu. Akeko Ofanano Ye, Akeko Ofanano Yesu, Akeko Ofanano Ye. There's no one like Jesus. Christians from Malawi who speak Chichewa, Palibe Ofana no Yesu, Palibe Ofana no Ye, Palibe Ofana no Yesu, Palibe Ofana no Ye. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Oh, beloved, expand your understanding of the church. The church is global. All over the world, people met today praising Jesus Christ from every language. Jesus shed His blood for every tribe and tongue and language and nation. He's not, I hear this all the time too, it brought an Alney. The white man's God. No. Jesus was a Jew. Middle East is where it all started. The very heritage, the Reformation theology that we love so much was in many ways begun in northern Africa by people like Augustine, Athanasius, standing up for the truth of the deity of Christ. Many North African Christians paved the way for the Reformation. No, Jesus shed His blood for every tribe and tongue and language and nation. He's not a tribal deity. He is the God of all nations and worthy of all of our praise and love and obedience and adoration. Racism is evil because Jesus died for all nations. Number 8, racism is evil because God smiles on inter-ethnic marriage. Racism is evil because God smiles on inter-ethnic marriage. I like to include this just because a lot of people would say, well, I'm not racist, but not this. Anything but this. Which shows they're actually still racist. Racism is evil because God smiles on inter-ethnic marriage. Numbers 12, 1 and 2 and 9 through 10, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite African woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has not He spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and He departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. God was not pleased that Miriam spoke against Moses because he married a Cushite woman. John Calvin comments on this passage, because they were unable to allege any grounds upon which Moses in himself was not farther superior, they seek to bring disgrace upon him on account of his wife, as if in half of himself he was inferior to them, because he had married a woman who was not of their own race, but a foreigner. They therefore cast ignominious aspersions upon him in the person of his wife, as if it were not at all becoming that he should be accounted the prince and head of the people, since his wife and the companion of his bed was a Gentile woman. God smiles on inter-ethnic marriage. And I preached on this last year. I'll give you a couple reasons briefly of God's smile on this. God delights in inter-ethnic marriage because he ordained that inter-ethnic marriages of Israelites with God-fearing Gentiles be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So Matthew 1:5, Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, who was a Canaanite, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, who was a Moabite. God placed them in the genealogy of his son. And God delights in interethnic marriage because the model marriage, the greatest of all marriages, is an interethnic marriage. The marriage which all other godly marriages are to be modeled after and point to, the most beautiful, glorious, loving, satisfying, holy marriage, the marriage of all marriages, is an interethnic marriage. A Jewish carpenter and crucified and risen king, married to a bride from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. God hates racism because he smiles on inter-ethnic marriage. Number 9, racism is evil because it is at odds with God's design for the church. Racism is evil because it is at odds with God's design for the church. Jesus prayed in John 17:11, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one." God's desire for us at Alney Baptist Church, regardless of what we look like, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our age, regardless of our background, is Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. That's close. Don't know all the implications of that, but I do know this, that's close. That's real tight. That's close. That's God's heart. That's Jesus' heart for us, regardless of background and ethnicity. The Bible says that the cross was accomplished to break down the hostility, this great hostility between ethnicities. The cross is the only hope, by the way. Whatever you learn in sociology, whatever you can read in these secular books and secular theories, I see people on social media so excited about certain sociological paths to reconciliation. They speak about it so often. It's if they defend it more than Jesus Christ himself. You can have that, I'll keep Jesus. You can have that, I'll keep the Bible. I want to spend my life defending the Bible, defending Jesus, pointing to Christ, pointing to the gospel, expounding the Word of God. I'm not even going to speak on that stuff because I don't know anything about it. I want to know something about the Bible for you. Ephesians 2:14-16, "For he himself is our peace." Jesus, he himself is our peace, who made us both one. Both Jews and Gentiles, one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Is there still hostility in our hearts toward other peoples of other ethnicities? Well, the cross is given us to break down that hostility, to make us one, to bring peace between us. Galatians 3:27-28, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:11, here in the new covenant, here in the church, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Yes, we still are different. These passages don't do away with our differences in ethnicity and gender, but they proclaim loudly that we are united in Jesus, that we are one in Christ, that we are brothers and sisters. Beloved, this is why I call you brother. And I didn't come here doing this. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But I have been taught to do it as I've continued to study the Scripture, and it helps remind me of my relationship to you. That you are my sister and brother in Christ. Yes. That we are related by a deeper blood than the blood in our veins. I was going to say physical blood, but that blood's physical. Jesus' blood is physical. We're related by a deeper blood than the blood in our veins, but by Christ's blood. And I've said this often when I do the membership class, that I have more in common with a believer in Christ who is a different age than me, a different ethnicity than me, and a different gender than me, than I do with someone who grew up in my own house that does not know Jesus. I have more in common with those who know Christ than anyone else who may be very close to me relationally but does not know Christ. Racism is evil because it is at odds with God's design for the church that we be one as the Father and the Son are one. 10, racism is evil because God forbids partiality. Racism is evil because God forbids partiality, and we've already seen many scriptures that show God's hatred for partiality, but I want to read one more. From James 2, 1 through 9, and the context of this has to do with showing partiality to the rich and the poor, but it applies in any other area, including ethnicity. James 2, 1 through 9, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stay over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? I mean, churches did this. Churches segregated like this. Well, you can only sit in the balcony. Well, you can only sit in the back. White churches did this because of white supremacy. And it wasn't that long ago. That's evil. That's evil. That's what God is saying. If you hold the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't do this. That's wrong. That's evil. Have you not then made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who will drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, we see it again. You are doing well, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Racism is evil because God forbids partiality. Number 11, racism is evil because we all came from one man. already read this scripture, just highlight this again, Acts 17:26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. We came from one person. We all came from Adam. We all came from him. 12, racism is evil because God hates it. Racism is evil because God hates it. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. That's pride. Pride is at the root of ethnic supremacy. Well, I'm better than you because of this. God hates that. God hates ethnic supremacy. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Think of those four little girls that were going to church that Sunday. And wicked men planted a bomb in that church and killed those four little girls because of their ethnicity. Much innocent blood has been shed because of the wicked sin of white supremacy. And God hates hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Wicked hearts plan that wicked terrorist attack. Feet that make haste and run to evil. God hates a false witness who breathes out lies. Many lies have been told in the name of ethnic supremacy. God hates these things. And number seven, the one who sows discord among brothers. To sow discord among brothers, God hates it. God hates the gossip in the church that causes division among Christians. God hates it. God hates ethnic supremacy that divides churches. Racism is evil because God hates it. And what God hates, we ought to hate. Psalm 97:10, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. And yet, as I began this sermon, we are reminded by the Word of God that we are born evil. We are born me supremacist. We are born sinners. The Bible teaches that we're born sinners. And we deserve God's wrath and judgment in hell for our sin. But as I said, God has a plan. God has a plan to do away with our sin and any kind of ethnic supremacy and me supremacy. God has a plan to deal with me supremacy. And that plan is the gospel. And if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, if you're listening online and you're not a believer, we want you to hear this message because this message is the only hope for us to have peace among all peoples. And that hope is Jesus. That hope is that though we are sinners, though we have sinned against one another in our me supremacy, in our selfishness, in our pride, in our arrogance, though we have lied and cheated and stolen, though we have said and done racist things in the past, the good news of the gospel is God loves sinners. God loves sinners. And he loves sinners so much, he sent his son Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and took on flesh and dwelt among us and lived a perfect life. He loved perfectly. He did those two great commandments. He's the only one who loved the Lord his God with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength. He's the only one who loved his neighbor as he loved himself. And he came and lived and loved and served and raised the dead and healed the blind and made the lame to walk. And then he died. He took all of this sin we're talking about, all of this ethnic supremacy, this wicked and evil racism, he took that upon himself. He who knew no sin was made sin. He took that upon himself. The Father counted him this sin. And then the Father crushed his own son. all the wrath and hell that we deserve for our sin, the Father poured that out on His own Son. And He died and shed His blood on that cross. And He was buried. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell. Like Shaolin says, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is dead. Name your religious leader, your king, your president. They're dead or will die. Jesus is alive. I say that it brought it on. It makes Muslims really mad at me. They were throwing soda cans at me a couple weeks ago. But Muhammad's dead. Prophet Muhammad is dead. That's just a fact. Jesus rose up from the dead. So if you don't want to end up dead like your prophet, you'll trust in King Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. And I say with great Muslim apologist or Christian apologist, I hate Islam. I hate it because I love Muslims. Islam sends people to hell. I hate it. Because I love Muslims and I want them to be saved. Jesus can save you. Amen. Jesus is King. Jesus is the Savior. He rose from the dead and He calls all people everywhere, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, Christians in church that don't really know Jesus, to repent and believe in Him and be saved. That's the gospel. Friend, if you're here this morning and you haven't done that, would you turn from your sins and believe in Jesus? He's the only one who can save you. Every other religion, prophet, teacher who doesn't point you to Jesus leads to hell. And if we love people, we're going to tell them that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus can save us from racism. Only Jesus can save us from ethnic supremacy. Only Jesus can bring peace. Islam is not the religion of peace. Surah 9:5 commands Muslims to kill the infidel. ISIS, Al-Shabaab, they're actually following the Quran. They're doing what the Quran says, to kill Christians. That's what the Quran teaches. Have you read it? I can show you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one who brings peace. His name shall be called what? Prince of Peace. He's the only one who can give us peace with God and peace with one another. Would you come to Him? Would you believe on Him? Friend, if you have not, I'll be in the back afterwards. I'll be in the front afterwards. Come and talk to me. We want you to know Jesus. 13, really quick, two more. Racism is evil because God loves every nation and every person that He has made. Racism is evil because God loves every nation and every person He has made. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world that has rebelled against Him, that hates Him. God loves this wicked and evil world so much that He sent His Son. And He sent His Son to die for every nation. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation, the anger-removing sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. And by that, I don't understand it to mean every single person who's ever lived. I understand that to mean every nation. Not just the Jews, but every nation. For every nation, people from every nation, He took away the wrath of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He desires people from every nation, every tribe, every language to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God loves every nation and every people and wants all to come to Him. And finally, racism is evil because God says so. Racism is evil because God says so. I came at you with the Bible this morning. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The Bible says so. God has spoken this morning through His Word. This is what God says. Do you fear God? Do you tremble at His Word? Do you want to follow Him? Then, regardless of your upbringing, your past, what your parents taught you, you better do what God says. We want to do what God says by the power of the Holy Spirit. Racism is evil because God says so. And again, our only hope is that in our brokenness, in our sin, in our me supremacy, Jesus took that upon Himself. Maybe some of you here have done things in your life that are just unbelievably wicked and evil when it comes to race and ethnicity. And you're ashamed. One of the things we see so often in the world is there's no forgiveness. People, we see sports stars who tweeted something when they were 12 or 13 or 15, and then it comes out when they're going to college, and the college says, you can't come here because you did this when you were 15. Or something comes out and they're canceled. And I'm not going to make any statement on that, but my point is this. That's not how it is with Jesus. Because we all deserve to be canceled straight to hell. I mean, something just came to my mind when I called my mom. Those words came out of my mouth about my mother. And the law of God says if you curse your parents, you shall be put to death. I should have been executed before I ever got to 10 years old, according to the holy law of God. We all deserve hell. We all deserve to be canceled. The good news of the gospel is you can be forgiven. No matter what you've done or how bad you've been, how much you deserve to be canceled, you might not get to play in college, but you can be forgiven by the God of the universe. And you can be reconciled to the very people you sinned against, like the world can never know. Beloved, that's the good news of Jesus Christ. And He'll change your heart too. You won't keep doing that. Not only can you be forgiven, but He'll change you and give you a love for people that you maybe never thought you could love. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel just doesn't take away our sin and condemnation, but changes our very heart and life so that we are enabled to love people who hate us. For our sake, He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's our hope in Christ. Jesus Christ, the perfect Jew, made all tribes in every hue, in God's image through and through, from one man all came, it's true. But since all sinned, our love withdrew. With racism, our hatred brew. So Jesus came to all subdue. He died for sinners. Lord, thank you. Then rose and made all death untrue. In Christ, all racist sins undo. Between the Tutsi and Hutu, between all blacks and whites and blue, In Christ, we're one, and love pursue. So trust the perfect God-man Jew. He'll change your life and make you new. Amen. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that through his shed blood, great sinners like us can be forgiven. Lord, we thank you that your word is so clear on this matter. Father, we pray you would be at work in our hearts to help us hate what you hate and love what you love. Father, wherever there is any ounce of ethnic supremacy in any of us, God, we pray that by your Spirit you would reveal that and help us to repent and forsake it. And Father, we ask that by the blood of Christ and by the power of the Spirit and as we look to your word, you would continue to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ and help us love one another deeply and make us one at this church, even as you and the Father are one. And God, we pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Christ, Father, we ask that today would be the day of salvation. We pray that you would save racist sinners. We pray that you would save Muslims. We pray that you would save people who don't know you. Amen. From every tribe and tongue and language and nation. And so God, do that. For the Lamb of God is worthy to receive the reward of his suffering. And so save God for Jesus' sake. Amen.